Welcome back to Jump Scare. I'm Betty.
And I'm Chad.
This week, for our second Serving Tuesday, we're covering Urban Legend Final Cut.
I got a good story. Yeah, it's about a campus serial killer who murders 8 students.
Urban Legends.
They had this, like, creature on the wing of the plane.
We've all told them.
True story, right?
We've all heard them.
You're going down.
Oh, God. Ready!
Cut! She's no Jamie Lee Curtis, right?
But these students are daring.
Urban Legends, scene 6, take 2.
To film them.
The movie is about a serial killer whose murders are all based on urban legends.
That's pretty cool.
There's this girl. She puts her hand down, and if her dog licks her hand, she knows everything's okay.
Can I be the dog? Because I'm a great licker.
It's an urban legend.
Like that girl who eats a burrito with a pregnant roach and all the eggs hatch inside of her nose.
No.
It's a tradition during finals week at the stroke of midnight. Everyone screams.
Someone is turning legends.
But at the same time, a co-ed is brutally attacked.
Into reality.
Dude, that looks so real.
Not enough blood.
You don't think it was real?
OJ left more blood than that on the Bronco.
Paranoia. Wrong man accused. How the lines blur between fantasy and reality.
Gotcha.
She's one hell of an actress, ain't she?
Whoever's doing this is gonna come after you again. Trust me.
It's just an urban legend.
Urban legend, my ass.
Urban Legends, Final Cut.
You ever hear the urban legend about the guy who picks up the dead hitchhiker?
You know, the movies that came out like between 2000 and 2005 are like a blur to me. I don't think any one of them really stands out. I'd have to look like somewhere online to see what movies came out during that time frame. This movie, because it did come out in 2000, I always associated with coming out in 1999. That's the first one came out, right? Was it in 98 or
98 was the first one. I remember because that was the year that was a big deal that Mark McGwire was hitting all the home runs, and I had to ask for my ticket 3 times to hear before I could get it because the cashier was like, "Did you hear? McGwire's up to 58. And I was like, "Yeah, that's great. Can I get a ticket for Urban Legend?" "Yeah, he's just got to make a few more before to hit the thing." "That's great. Can I get my ticket to Urban Legend, please?" Kept on, still had to be like, "Hey, could I please just get a ticket to Urban Legend?" Because in St. Louis, it was insane at that point. So I have that memory of this, too.
That's a crazy fucking memory.
Tainted by Mark McGwire.
I don't even know who that is.
No one cares anymore.
I'm not a sports person either, so I'm just, like, totally oblivious.
Yeah, it was horrible. They were interrupting news reports for it. They were like, "He's going to make it to 70. Well, of course he is. He's taking enough steroids that he can, you know, hit the ball to the moon if he wants to.
Did he take steroids?
Yes.
Wow, okay.
Turned out later he did. That's why there's a little asterisk by his name.
Okay, that's interesting. Well, this film is set in a whole other campus and has new characters.
For the most part.
Spoilers. For the most part. And we're not going to talk about the Easter egg, or I shouldn't say Easter egg because it's blatant, like what's going on, but the last character, the last scene, well, no, we won't say who that is.
Yeah, I was just talking about, what's her name, Loretta Devine, recurring as Reese, the security guard.
Yeah, well, damn, you just stole one of my people.
Sorry, yes. That happens early on. That's no spoiler.
So you have Jennifer Morrison, who plays Amy. She's from Once Upon a Time. She's done a shit ton of stuff, but everyone's going to know her from Once Upon a Time, right?
And House. That's where I know her from. I never watched Once Upon a Time, but I was like, "Oh, she's the one from House."
That's funny how we have different things.
Yeah.
One of my personal favorites, Matthew Davis, who plays Travis. And you might also know him because he played Warner Huntington in Legally Blonde, who's the boyfriend that she's trying to like get and like goes against the movie, goes up against him in the movie. And also he's Alaric from the Vampire Diaries universe. Wink, wink, wink. That's where I fell in love with this dude. And we already discussed that Loretta Devine is in it.
Yeah. And some other people that, you know, at the time weren't really that big, like Anthony Anderson is in this. And at the time, you know, he was just kind of the random guy in it. But now he's pretty big. He's been on, like, a lot of things, like Law and Order, had his own show. And, of course, you have Eva Mendes, who at the time, again, no one would know who she was. But my favorite from this is Anson Mount is in this. And I still didn't really know who he was until a couple of years ago when he started playing Captain Pike on the new Star Trek series. And I was like, oh, okay, that's who this is. That guy, that's why he looked familiar.
That's weird how he's like, nobody. You're like very like little known. You're just coming onto the scene or been in it for working, you know, working actor. And then boom.
Yeah, I think he's just been like a character actor for like 20 years. And he suddenly got the lead on a Star Trek show. And it's like, okay, now the whole nerd community knows who he is, you know?
Yeah. Well, not for the Eva fans. Don't like go crazy on us. She, you know, she did little things here and there, but she wasn't Eva Mendes in the 2000.
Yeah, know? She was just.
She was Eva.
Yeah, and it wasn't. She didn't have her own like legend yet.
Get it? I don't. Wow. Or Eva, however you pronounce her name. So now, the students in this school is in the last year of this prestigious film school. And they're all going after the Hitchcock Award, which if you get this award, you're granted like an in Hollywood, like your own movie.
Yeah.
And you also get some money prize.
You get $15,000.
$15,000. I'll take $15,000.
It's nice, but at the same time, I'm like, really? That's what was going to get you by in the world was $15,000?
It is $2,000.
And that was a little, that's like $25,000 now.
I think the money was to like do a little indie film.
Probably, but even back then, you weren't going to make much of a movie for that.
Alpine University. Didn't you have like a little thing with that university or something about the building? Or
yeah, bell tower, they didn't actually have a bell tower at this campus, so this is how much of a budget they had. They built a bell tower, like a prop one that, you know, set up there. The inside of it was filmed at a studio, but the rest of it was, you know, built out there. It said it cost them $150,000 to build that.
Wow.
Now, that's the budget of like five of these movies now that they use just to build a bell tower on this.
Now, Amy doesn't know what she wants to do for her thesis film. And, you know, everyone is off being artiste and all up wrapped up in their own films. And she hadn't even come up with the idea yet to present to her teacher, her professor. So she, you know, ends up having a conversation with Reese, who kind of loosely tells her, you know, the story that happened in her last campus. You know, there was a serial killer going around committing urban legend murders.
She's like, oh, they just covered that up like they do.
And she gets inspired by this and decides to, that's going to be her thesis movie.
It's a killer, you know, killing people according to urban legends.
And now I feel like there's a lot of urban legends out there, but they stuck mostly, I mean, you already had the ones from the first film. So they did the whole People Can Lick 2 one. And they did the liver, like kidney. the kidney removal.
Kidney has, which is funny because the last urban legend that they said they were going to do, but they didn't get to finish in the first urban legend was, what's her name? Rebecca Gayhart was going to kill the girl and make it look like a kidney heist.
Mm.
But they didn't get to finish that. So this one, the first murder that happens is a kidney heist.
I thought that was nice.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. You know, watching this again, I'm just like, this movie is pretty terrible. It's, I don't know. Maybe it's a nostalgia thing for some people. I love urban legend movies. One of my favorite ones is the Campfire Tales from 1997.
Yeah, that one's pretty good. I think with this one, this was in the wake of another one that was in the wake of Scream. And, you know, the first urban legend came out after Scream, but they were, you know, writing and producing that before Scream was really a thing. So it was already, you know, it wasn't trying to take its lead from Scream. by the time the sequels and ones like Valentine and others came out, they were all like, well, here's our formula. We're going to find a bunch of pretty people. We're going to throw a bunch of money at it, and we're going to make it a mystery who the killer is, and boom, we're guaranteed a whole bunch of money. That was the formula.
Yeah, they kind of, this. Now that I think about it, would this movie be considered, I was going to think meta-ish?
A little bit, but I have heard some people that are in film school who really hate this movie because it's, of course, nothing like what film school is actually like, especially back then. You know, they had access to cameras and were doing things that they would never be allowed to do in an actual film school.
Yeah, they actually, well, I was going to say they really don't let you do, but they were in their last year, though. Like, if they were freshmen, I totally get they wouldn't be letting them use the equipment and stuff, but they do some outlandish shit that's like,
I just love how for the student film, they had a full-sized airplane in the one scene when he was filming the movie. It's like a full airplane, you know, set that they could move, and, you know, it was on, like, what do you call it, gimbals, where it's moving around, and they're blowing rain at it and everything. I'm like, holy shit, what kind of a film school has a full airplane in there to use?
It was donated by one of the alumni, you know, for the films, the Alpine University Foundation.
It must have been, because I was like, holy shit, they have a full airplane? That's insane. If they had just had, like, a cockpit, I would have thought, okay, maybe they might have a little cockpit set there for, you know, but they had the full plane. That was what was insane.
What drove me crazy about this movie is the whole, so you have the Travis character who I mentioned earlier, wink, 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 is a lyric from Vampire Diaries. And he's going around, he's super depressed because he thinks his film is not good enough or whatever, but it actually, it gets disqualified, and that's because, kind of like jumping the, not a spoiler, but it kind of gets like cut and like added on to another movie, right? It's not really his movie that goes through. His movie gets stolen.
Yeah, the professor gave his movie a C, and that's why he was depressed, because he was upset that he thought he had made such a great film, and that the teacher was like, no, that's a C.
So great that he decides he's going to commit suicide.
Yeah, I mean,
okay. And then he doesn't commit suicide, so we know, because amidst all of this craziness that's going on, oh, here we go, run for those gatos. The gatos run. Our cats are fighting amongst each other. They despise one another. They have them going, they're going, you know, they're all going after their films and they're doing all that. While that's happening, Travis commits suicide, but then they all go to his funeral and hey, who's this? Is it Travis's twin brother?
Why, yes. Yes, it is.
And now, as Chad would say, it's been many a time. Actually, it's celebrating an anniversary. This year's 20th anniversary.
20th anniversary.
20th anniversary of this film. So if you haven't seen it, you know, check it out. If not, you know, turn this podcast off right now because I'm going to give it away. It's fucking Travis. He faked his death and he's come back. Didn't he fake his death and come back?
No, guy, it was a twin.
It wasn't really the twin?
Yes, it was really his twin.
I'm going to tell you right now. Okay, so he didn't. He really died. Yes. Where was I in that part of the movie? I swear to you that it was Travis, because in the end of the film, there's this whole conversation on, he's like,
they posthumously award the thing to his brother.
I know he accepts it, but the whole monologue before, when the quote-unquote killer is revealed and he has his own monologue. He did
that to confuse the guy.
Well, he motherfucking confused me, because I thought that he had faked his death, which would have actually been more interesting.
It was not. He actually had a twin. That's why he didn't know that the film was different. Because he would have known. Because here we go on with the spoilers. The film professor that graded his film a C recognized that it was an amazing movie and really good, so he stole it and then killed him so that no one would know about it. And then the reason all these murders were happening was he was murdering everyone that worked on the movie so no one would know that it wasn't the professor's movie. He was just going to steal it and put it out there. So if he'd faked his own death, when they watched the movie, he would have instantly known that the professor had done that.
I'm going to laugh about this for years to come. What a great memory.
So, yeah. Did you watch the movie with me, or was you just... Were you just somewhere else?
I don't remember. I'm going to be one of those people in these podcasts that don't watch the movie, but they have so much to say about it. But I actually did watch this film. I watched it when it came out. Fuck, it was 20 years ago, okay? And then I watched it recently, but I was so disconnected from the film because it's just so terrible. It's a classic film from 2000 that's like straight to video for me. It made its money back, surprisingly. Not as much as the original did, but I think it cost like, you know, half of like, I think it was like 15 to like $17 million, and it made like 38.4 or some shit. Yeah. It made its money back, obviously. There's a third one.
That one went straight to video because they were a little disappointed about the gross on this one. But yeah, it made money. Like, it's opening weekend, which just tells you, you know, it only made like $8.5 million on its opening weekend.
Yeah, this is pre-Avengers, guys. This is like when it was a decent time.
Yeah, back when you didn't... Now, if you don't make $1 billion on your opening weekend, they're like, well, this movie sucked.
You're like, this is a children's movie about a sinking cat and a dog that become best friends? It didn't make $40 billion the first 3 days it opened? Garbage.
Whereas when this came out, and they were like, well, okay, I guess that's fine.
For a horror movie.
We just won't...
And a sequel.
Yeah, we just won't make the sequels in theaters. We'll just make those straight to video.
Bloody Mary, I think it's. They just focus on one.
Yeah, I've seen that one. It's a very different kind of thing. It's strictly Bloody Mary, and it's kind of a ghost, more like, it's more in the vein of like Candyman than anything else.
So it's like Halloween 3 has something to do with the like original 2?
Not really. It's
own movie.
I only saw it once, but it has a very different feel than the others, and it ends very surprisingly.
Yeah, because at least, I mean, they had to stretch the connection from the first to the second one, because if you didn't have the Loretta Devine character, Reese, then the movie, to me, I guess they could have just done, like, another campus, you know, and some other urban legend shit's going on.
Well, but it never stopped him with Friday the 13th and all that, you know, all these others at the time. It was like Friday the 13th. It was just like some more counselors are coming into the camp.
Well, they're coming into his area. He's always there. Jason's not off like living on a fucking condo like in West Palm Beach, and then it's like summertime. That's when he goes to like, you know, Camp Crystal Lake.
I always thought the better way to do these would be like an anthology movie, kind of like that Campfire Tales did.
Yes.
Where they were, it could have just been, I think they should have had like Robert Englund should have still been the teacher in the from the first one. He could have been just talking about different urban legends and telling them, and then it just cuts to the different urban legends, and each one is like a little short film. And that would have been cool to see. And they could have even done the trick of having people that are in the classroom be in the legends, like he's just looking at people and, you know, putting them in the story as he's looking at them. That would have, that way they wouldn't have to hire so many different actors. That would have been kind of a cool twist on it.
Fuck, Chad. I'm going to give you all my money if you make a movie. I would watch that movie. Robert Englund's in it, so sold. And he's in his professor wear. Wink, wink, wink. Sold.
Yeah, get the tweed patches on the jacket. All the ladies go crazy for that.
Hells yes. I don't know what it is, but we're going to the store tomorrow to buy you some tweed patched suits. Like, yeah, the whole thing.
You see that? The women see a guy coming down the street in that? They just do like that Conan movie where they threw themselves off the cliff to get to the guy. That's how it goes.
Wow. What was your favorite scene in the film? Did you have like a favorite kill or?
Yeah, I thought the first one they did, where they did the kidney heist, was pretty good because it was incredibly graphic. I think they used a goat kidney or something for it, but yeah, they just cut the kidney out. And let me tell you, I love how these movies for these people, they cut their kidney out and they're just running around like everything's fine. I don't think you're okay. I don't think you get out of the bathtub full of ice after they cut your kidney out. But I like that one because it was pretty graphic. Not only do you see the kidney, you get to see you're attacked by a dog, you get to see like a decapitation. It's got everything.
Yeah, there's a lot going on, and the kidney looks disgusting. At first, I thought it was one of those like terrible like Spirit Halloween like hearts that they just drenched in blood and threw on the ground.
Stepped on it a little bit just to give it some flatness.
Yeah, I was like, what the fuck is that? But once you told me it was like a goat.
It was a goat kidney, which explains why it looks nothing like any other kidney you've ever seen in movies.
I'm like, what's wrong with this girl? What was she eating? Like,
yeah, this is a bad time for the goat.
It's a really, really bad time. I hope it was a goat that you know, said, yes, you may use my kidney for this film, and then gave its life up for this film.
No one gave their life for this movie. They just killed the goat.
You know, that Jennifer Morrison in this movie, she's so young in this film. Not that she's a hag or anything now, but it's crazy to see these actors, you know, when they're just starting off or...
Yeah, she would have been like 20 at the time of this. Which is crazy because I didn't realize she was that young at the time, because when she's in house, she's supposed to be a doctor that's completed her residence and is on like her own helping out, you know, an advanced medical team. And she would have been like 25 at the time that happened. I was like, oh, okay.
You know what? I have two words for you. Doogie Howser. Okay. He fucking did it. All right. He was like, I have a... you know, huge surgery to do tomorrow, or am I going to the fucking, you know, senior prom? I don't know. I have a dilemma on my hands. Of course, obviously, he always chooses surgery because he was a good doctor.
Now, that's a show I never watched, so I'll take your word for it on that one.
I love me some Doogie Howser.
I scoffed openly at that show when it was on. So
how dare you? But yet you would watch the one with the fucking kid from the Bait Show. Isn't he playing also a young doctor in that fucking show? You never seen it. I'm just giving you shit because I know you like that from that the Bates Motel TV show. That kid that played.
Oh yeah, Norman, I like Bates Motel, but I never watched his doctor show.
Yeah, he has a fucking doctor show, and I'm like, he's like 12. Did his balls even drop? Like what? Is his own, he's the Doogie Howser of this time frame.
Yeah, I didn't see that one, so I can't judge that one. But I saw just enough of Doogie Howser to know it wasn't my bag.
I don't know. I would say I love the ending of the film because it ties up the first film. But I'm also sad because you get to know what happens ish to one of the characters from the first film ends up in the ending of this one. But I would like to see, like, where are they going? I don't want to give anything, but what's going on? Like, what's gonna happen? We don't ever get to fucking see that story because part three has nothing to do with it, so that's kind of like a cliffhanger. It didn't help that the actress, I'm not gonna say who's in that scene, .. had run in with the law big time. Yeah, in real life
she had some issues. That's why she didn't get to be in Firefly and some other shows.
I feel like they should have just recasted her.
Well, this was right before that, I believe.
Yeah.
So I think
I'm saying for the next movie, like if they would have continued.
And you can tell us what they were trying to do is kind of set up like a recurring thing where she would come into it every time.
Yeah.
And that would have been kind of fun.
Yeah, that would have been kind of fun to see because, you know, she's so fucking crazy. And I do like her character, you know,
yeah,
I
hate to say. Yeah, she plays a good crazy.
She does. I mean... life is imitating art, right?
Apparently so. Art imitating life at this one, because she does a little too convincing job.
I love the scene where the annoying friend is getting murdered, the blonde haired girl who's a terrible actress. She's the one in the airplane scene that you were mentioning earlier. Yeah. She's so terrible, and I love that she doesn't get murdered like in some crazy way. Like it's just a basic slasher, you know, thing. But the fact that everyone, all of her classmates, are actually watching like the reels from like before, like the day before, and they're watching that scene, and at first they think, oh, this is a scene that we shot, but it happens to be her actual murder they're watching.
Yeah.
That scene is pretty fucking cool, because some of the audience is like, oh shit, this is like the best, and like she's doing an incredible job there, and then the other people are like commenting on how well her acting was. And then the other people are like, oh, she's not acting.
Yeah, this is real. Which is funny. This is the same... this actress was also in Valentine.
Yes.
And in that movie, she was the second character to die. And no one realized that she had died because she was supposedly had flown off to L.A. Which is the same thing in this movie. She's supposed to fly off to L.A. the next day. So no one realizes that she has been killed for a long time.
That's crazy.
So I thought that was a pretty interesting coincidence. I think Valentine was 2001, so it would have been the next year. So I wonder if they even realized that when they cast her for it.
Who knows? Isn't that, maybe there's like a thing like, you know, you say you're going to go off to Hollywood and then you're never seen again.
Yeah, everybody just assumes, well, she's too good for us now.
Yeah, or she's like the new fucking Norma Jean or whatever, you know. She just reinvented herself and is out there as someone else.
Yeah, she's got a whole new name. But, like, yeah, this movie was, I don't know. The first one I enjoy a lot because it was in that area of, yeah, they cast a lot of the, like, you know, people that were popular on TV at
the time. It has Joshua fucking Jackson in it, and his hair is fucking terrible in this film. But I love it.
And you've also got, what's his name? Jared Leto. I always forget his name. Got Jared Leto in it.
Hells yes. You also have a Smallville guy.
Yeah, you got Michael Rosenbaum. Mm-hmm. You got Brad Dourif. Everybody's in that movie, besides Robert Englund. You've got everybody that shows up in that movie at one point or another. Even Tara Reid, back before she was a hot mess meltdown, back when this was even before American Pie, back when they were just like, okay, she looks cool. She looks like she might do things. Nah, it turned out not. But at the time, we all thought she was going to be cool.
How dare you speak about America's treasure, Tara Reid? Okay, first of all, she's a fucking Sharknado, all right?
Yeah, she brought herself back in that one. She was in obscurity for a while. The Sharknado movies brought her out of it. And who would have thought that Sharknado would have been the thing that saved her?
You know, it's always some fucking killer sharks that are going to come about and do some crazy shit. I have to say, I'm not a Tara Reid fan, but, you know, she's still fucking working. So, kudos to you, Tara Reid. Kudos to you.
Yeah, and the first one, I thought they just had a really... They had a better storyline to go with it, and the urban legends were a little sharper because they were ones you had more heard. And that was probably the problem with this one was they used all the really good urban legends in the first one. This one was kind of stuck with the leftovers, you know?
I don't know. I think all the urban legends are good. I don't see any issues with that. Because you know what it is? I'm a person that loves urban legends. So when I'm watching it, I already know what the urban legend is. So it doesn't really like, and not saying that you don't, I'm just saying like, I'm like, oh, okay, I'm someone in the audience that knows this one. So it is recognizable to me. So I like them all equally the same. I don't think anyone, I know the most popular one, if I had to pick one out of a hat, like I would think would be the escaped, you know, mental person that's terrorizing the couple in the car with the...
Yeah, hanging on. That one's been in a couple. That was in that Campfire Tales that we talked about. They did that in Campfire Tales, and they did it in Urban Legend.
Yeah, that would be the... I think that's why. And I think the People Can Live, too. I think that's also a strong urban legend.
Yeah, that one has been in quite a few things, too. And the beginning of the original urban legend, where the person's hiding in the back seat, that's also used in that movie, Nightmares. Except that one's a little bit longer sequence, where... You know, the woman goes to the gas station and finds out that there's a guy hiding in the back seat.
Yeah. It's also in another anthology that I love that I own as well, Amusement.
Yeah, I forgot about that one.
Yeah, I really like that one. It's such a good movie. We have to watch it sometime, maybe cover it, because it's a good, I like the wraparound story. And
yeah, I was surprised when it turned out to have a wraparound story, because I thought it was just going to be an anthology. The way it started off, and then when it turned out to have like a wraparound that kind of tied into the anthology parts of it, I was like, oh, okay, this is different.
It is different. I wasn't expecting it at all. I wasn't even expecting to like that movie. I bought that movie for like $3 randomly. It was brand new, but it was one of those like cheap bin ones.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, let me just see what the fuck this is about, because I read the back and I was like, oh, it's an anthology and there's urban legend. So I'm like, I'm getting that. So I really like that
one. It turned out to be a lot better than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, well, I give this film 2 knives.
Yeah, I'd go along with that. It's a 2-knifer. It's I guess it's not that it's really that terrible. It's just that it's not that memorable either. Because I watched this when it came out, but I, even though it has been 20 years, there's movies I saw 20 years ago that I still remember a lot of details. But this, the only thing I remembered was, oh, they cut out somebody's kidney in that one. That was it. There really wasn't any memorable... It's one of those ones you see it, and then a week later, you don't remember anything about it.
Exactly.
Obviously, since you watched it like a week ago and couldn't even remember who the damn killer was.
No, first of all, I remember who the killer was, but I forgot about the whole Travis thing that he was not...
So it's not that memorable a movie whenever you can't remember it a week later.
It's not that memorable a movie. I was going to say I'm going to back up what your comment that you were saying about it not being memorable, because... I obviously cannot remember that plot point.
So yeah, that says it all right there.
For real, I mean, yeah. That really weakened the movie for me, even though I just kind of said like, oh, that would have been a good point. That would have been a good move if they went in that direction that he wasn't dead and he faked his death and then came back. And you know, it's very soap opera-y, and I do watch a lot of soap operas.
Yeah, so that would admit. That'd be a pretty good twist on that, or that would be something that they would have done in like a little bit earlier. Like that'd have been an 80s movie twist on something, you know?
Hells yes. Well, thank you so much for joining us in yet another memorable second serving. I hope you got your fill and stay tuned to the horror.
And now, folks, it's time to say goodnight. We sincerely appreciate your patronage and hope we've succeeded in bringing you an enjoyable evening of entertainment. Please drive home carefully and come back again soon. Good night.